So, hello, everybody. It's time once again for a conversation with John Orr, and I want this conversation to be with our audience as well as our esteemed guest today, Mr. Bruce Buckmaster, longtime member of the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. And today's topic is one that I personally find fascinating and I think portends conflict. There's already political conflict, but the kind of conflict I'm talking about is where wolves conflict with human populations. Obviously, human populations are expanding, and the state of Oregon, as part of the Endangered Species Act, federal and state, has been endeavoring to increase and grow the population of wolves. Ranchers and farmers, mostly ranchers, I guess, are concerned about this. And I think there's solid reason, based on an article I recently read, for human populations to be concerned for their physical health and safety from these large, wily, crafty, hungry, and highly reproductive species. So we've got Mr. Buckmaster on board. Why don't you just say, let's do a little mic test by you saying hi to everybody.
Good morning, John. Good morning, everybody.
All right, good. We're set to go on that. So, you know, the article I was talking about, to just kind of give it a little bit of a little perspective, it's from Range Magazine, The Cowboy Spirit on America's Outback, and the special report from the summer 2019 edition, which I got at Fred Meyer, was on wolves. And there's some fairly alarming statistics, and I'll just read a little bit from that article, if I may. Wolf proponents are fond of saying there's never been a documented wolf attack on a human in North America. This is not true. There have been at least 145 documented wolf attacks in North America, with 50 fatalities, 27 of those occurring in the last 20 years. Worldwide, there have been tens of thousands of documented wolf attacks on humans. Since 2000, there have been 363 wolf attacks on humans worldwide. In North America, in 2011, a school teacher was jogging down a road when she was chased down by two wolves, killed and partially eaten. In 2005, a geologist was attacked and eaten. And in 2007, a man was savagely attacked while riding a snowmobile. Even Lewis and Clark documented wolf attacks among well-armed men. In all these recent wolf attacks, more than 90% were officially classified as unprovoked or predatory. Fewer than 5% involved cases where the wolves were sick, injured, or being threatened. This one's a little grisly. During World War I, huge packs of wolves converged on Russian and German soldiers on the Eastern Front. Initially, one or two wolves would attack sleeping soldiers at night, drag them out in the trenches, and eat them alive, while their brethren listened in horror. As the wolves became bolder, whole packs began to plunge into the trenches, slaughtering men en masse. Soldiers tried shooting them with rifles and machine guns and bombing them with grenades, all to no avail. Ultimately, in unprecedented action, a truce was called and opposing forces joined together to confront this terrifying foe. These former enemies killed hundreds of wolves, but in a queer example of human behavior, after the wolf attacks were quelled, the once allied soldiers returned to their trenches and resumed shooting at each other. So, I guess I could go on. I'm concerned. Last night I spoke with an employee of the Oregon Park Service. That's actually the correct title. And the sightings of predators by her are on the increase. And in one of her jobs at a location, I don't know if it was near Hag Lake, but another location, she had a stare down with one. And this article, to just make a fine point out and maybe add some science to a discussion, which too often seems to me to have another agenda, like, you know, I've thought about this a lot, and I'm going to say it. I think raising funds. So the environmental groups, I mean, there are scientific reasons that I've read about for allowing predator populations to cull populations of deer and elk so that there can be riparian habitat restoration. The science is not clear and definitive of that. Of course, there's the effect on the ranchers and the cattle, and the people eat beef. So these people have businesses. So there is that. But the concern is that, and this is cynical. I don't like to take a cynical stance that the wolf issue, maybe not the greatest on the facts, strikes a chord with people, and it may not be rooted in science. There are seven stages about how wolves become habituated to people and approach a stage where they are out and out, flat, dangerous. Hence, we know, Bruce, that there were bounties on these animals. But I guess putting a little flesh on the subject, no pun intended, is a good way to enter into the topic in the main today, which is what is the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission recently done with regard to the Oregon Wolf Plan?
Well, thanks, John. That was quite a setup. So anyway, what we have done, we, on June 7th, I believe it was, or June 9th, it doesn't matter, we approved the 2008 Wolf Plan. That is the third iteration of the Wolf Plan that has been approved by a Fish and Wildlife Commission. And I think it's important to understand that none of the discussions entailed whether or not we should have wolves. That decision had been made, and it was not something that was on the agenda for us to discuss. The first wolf plan adopted was done in 2005, and it should be noted that there were zero wolves in Oregon in 2005.
There had been some cited in 1999 from Idaho.
That's right. And some people don't understand, and I think I was a little fuzzy on this, so how we ended up with wolves in Oregon. We did not import wolves. We did not bring them in to repopulate. They actually came in of their own volition across the Snake River from Idaho. By 2010, when we were doing our mandated 5-year update of the plan, there were 21 known wolves in Oregon. There was a lawsuit regarding some of the actions on phase one. There was a 3-phase management plan within the 2010 wolf plan. And there's a lawsuit and a settlement. But at the time the settlement agreement was reached in 2013, we had 64 wolves, known wolves. 2015, when it was time to begin our next 5-year review, we had 110 wolves. 2016, we had 112 known wolves. And the last wolf count we had, I believe, observed wolves was a minimum of 137. I could be off 10 wolves, more or less.
How accurate do you think that figure is?
It's an absolutely accurate figure.
I mean, that those are actually observed by human observers and noted in reliable fashion.
That is correct. But those are wolves that we know are there.
But what about the ones we don't know, because they don't always announce themselves by, you know, wearing patriotic garb on July 4th?
No, they do not. And this last year was a difficult year to do surveys, animal counting surveys for ungulates, or I should say for deer and elk, for pronghorn and bighorn sheep, and also very difficult. So we can't speculate. There's no model that we're operating on. We are operating on the known. That gives us a trend line that we can continue to look at. But you notice that I say minimum. That is the minimum number. Could there be more? We assume there are more. We just don't know how many more.
Okay. Well, now let's go to the nitty gritty here. Do you believe that this plan will protect the interests of those who are concerned about, you know, livestock predation by these apex predators, meaning top of the food chain or nearly top of the food chain? Maybe cougars would disagree if they could. Or and the other interest holders, like those that think that these are, you know, cuddly dog-like creatures.
Well,
Sorry.
Will it meet the interest?
My opinions are starting to form.
Yes, they are. Will it meet the interest? No. Will there be damage done to livestock by wolves? Of course there will. There are efforts on how we can minimize that, how we can manage both our livestock and our ranching operations to minimize the conflict. There's a great deal of work that has been done in Oregon. Remember, in 2005, we had no information regarding Oregon wolves because there were none. Now we are accumulating a fair amount of information on how to deal with wolves through our professional biologists at ODF&W. So we're going to find out more. We have a compensation program that on confirmed wolf kills that ranchers can receive compensation.
Yeah, for animals. Okay, but it's really time consuming and effortful for those ranchers to make a claim because they have to jump through these hoops and hurdles of proof, and they have to get they have a timeline they're supposed to address in order to report them, and they live considerable distances. They probably have to provide the carcass, or I mean, what's involved in making a claim on behalf of a rancher who believes that the wolf has killed his calf or his cow?
Well, originally it's a couple phone calls to their district biologist or the county sheriff can do that. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's there. I'm not minimizing the impact.
That's all it takes, a phone call.
Well, that begins the process, and there are other people that get involved in the process, and it is not without controversy, not without problems. Confirming a kill can be difficult, particularly if it's found considerably later than a fresh kill.
Which happens because these cattle roam freely in eastern Oregon across many miles.
Some of them do, and some of them are on leased federal pasture land, and that is also an issue that we hear about on the commission. I don't want it to come off that I am advocating one side or the other on this, but the plan was put together with ranchers, Farm Bureau, at the table, as well as wolf-centric environmental groups. So these people all talked about, and nobody was happy, which is probably a good sign. The issues that we had to deal with in this iteration of the plan were some issues that had actually been agreed to by all parties at the beginning of the plan. But now that it's actually seems to be working, some changes were asked for.
Well, what kind of population changes or increases do the experts predict as a result of this plan in terms of wolf populations?
We are seeing wolves. I think the biologist, and it would be better to have a biologist on your show to talk about this than a lowly commissioner.
Well, it's better than just having me talk about it. A darn sight.
So we would expect wolf populations, breeding pairs and packs, to grow across the landscape where they have connectivity, where they have a prey base. They will be moving into the lower Willamette Valley. We're starting to see the rogue pack active there. The impact on farmers and ranchers is going to change from the eastern Oregon spread out cattle across a vast landscape to relatively condensed groups of sheep. So we could see, you know, we've seen wolves, we haven't seen, but we will see wolves killing large numbers of sheep as a training exercise for young wolves. This is going to present problems as they move into the valley, and moving into the Cascades, the Southern Cascades across into the Coast Range. I would say, and a young guy like you will probably see wolves in Clatsop County in your lifetime. But how many wolves? What is the number? That number has never been given to the commission.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I guess, unknown. I just, you know, using common sense, and they're kind of, dogs come from wolves, and dogs can, a female dog can have a significant amount of reproduction in a given year. Can they have three litters?
Well, I'm not wolves, an expert.
I read they can, a healthy female wolf can have three litters a year, can have 10 pups. And, you know, even writing off a third of them, that portends, once some threshold is reached, maybe an exponential growth in the wolf population.
You're getting to one of the issues that we had to wrestle with at the meeting and listening to testimony on all sides. Certainly we know that wolves are highly fecund. They will reproduce quickly given the right conditions. So the question is, what do we do as a commission today in 2019 that makes it possible for ODF&W biologists and staff to manage wolves as they put in any way they grow, potentially, as you say, quite quickly and over a wide range? So to figure out what we're going to do, one of the big questions was, should we ever allow hunting? And that's where we get into, as you mentioned earlier, different motives and
cultural perspectives
and agendas. So there are people who say they are apex predators. They will manage themselves. Well, that is true. My understanding, it is true. But nature's management is not something that we generally have accepted in wildlife management in North America, which is a boom and bust, that you will have a apex predator expand to consume its prey base, which might include livestock, up to a point where the prey base collapses, and then you'll see the predators collapse. And this is a longer-term boom and bust scenario that I don't think anybody is looking for.
I need to bust in here. So if you have questions for Bruce Buckmaster from the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission or comments about this, and, you know, I'm becoming more convinced and confident, in my opinion, that wolf predations in human populations are going to increase. They're going to be grisly and ghastly. I'm just saying it right now. That's my prediction. If we don't control these their numbers through approved methods like hunting. I'm not a big fan of trapping. It seems to be extremely resource intensive on the part of the trapper. But hunting, if you don't like hunters, if you don't like guns, there's going to be no meaningful interaction in that conversation. But people that like to fill their refrigerators with organic meat for their family and also participate in something which does manage populations in a significant way, they're already being affected anecdotally in eastern Oregon and perhaps even here in Clatsop County, whether it's from cougar predation or the wolves. It's certainly the wolves in eastern Oregon and Idaho. That matters there because, you've got different stakeholders. So give us your calls, your comments, or questions, 503-325-0010. The topic today, wolves, where are we and where are we going? And, this announcer, I should say commentator, believes we're going to see bloodshed. We're going to see hikers and campers and backpackers and children that are maybe straying a little too far from their rural homestead, they're going to get consumed. And I've seen photographs of them. I think this is a scientifically foreseeable thing that we're dealing with. And, we can't really indulge that. The people perhaps who live in cities can maintain this this nice idea of these fuzzy dogs and everybody living in balance and harmony. But the reality for rural folks is considerably different from that. And I mentioned earlier that try to look at things objectively. There's the idea that certain populations of plants thrive once the ungulates and the deer and the elk are taken care of by larger populations of hungry wolves that somehow can help riparian habitat. But I think the jury is still out on that. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, the work that's often cited is work that was done in Yellowstone, which is a highly controlled environment. We would not expect to see that sort of work, that sort of impact by wolves on the Oregon landscape.
So, and it also just seemed, and this is from the report that just came out. It's like with attachments, 145 pages. Looked like we got our first call. This conversation with John Orr, what's your comment or question, please?
Well, my main comment is you have presented such an obnoxiously biased program this morning that it's outrageous, and I think that's why nobody's bothered calling in. You seem hopeless. Your knowledge about wolves is zero. Your attitude is pro-hunting to the top. Kill everything that moves. Everything's here for human beings, and they have a right to kill off whatever they want. Well, let me tell you something. All those ranchers complaining out there are letting their cattle and sheep wander over my land. Those federal lands belong to me as much as to them. And those places should remain open and free. And if there's wolves out there eating their cattle, well, that's too bad. Mm-hmm. It's time to let nature come back, not to try to control it the way you do. And your attitude and the things you've said, trying to stir fear in people about all their little children being eaten by hungry wolves, it sounds like a fairy tale by, you know, Hansel and Gretel fairy tale. You're really an awful commentator because you have such an unbalanced report on your program. This is supposed to be a call-in show. Nobody's calling in because they think you're just totally out of control and there's no point in even trying to get through to you. And I have nothing more to say to you.
Well, thanks for the call. This is a conversation, and I don't presume to know all these things. And the whole point of a conversation is to have interaction, and hopefully we keep it civil. Now, it may seem obnoxious to you, but, you know, I've done some research on this. I'm not an expert. That's why I've got Mr. Buckmaster here. And I think there needs to be a little balancing of perspectives. And, you know, I guess as long as people eat meat and have cattle, then you're going to have business people known as ranchers provide them. And just to let you know that the habituation of wolves to human areas is a problem, and it's been documented. I'm not making this up. This is not just a bias. And I think, you know, hunters have a place at the table. So I'm sorry you feel that way. But it looks like we don't. Yes, we have another caller, I think. This is a conversation with John Orr. What's your comment or question?
Well, I'm very upset, too, that you paint such a negative picture. The wolf killing has been very minimal compared to, I mean, you look at guns and cars and wars and et cetera, et cetera. Wolves are very smart animals. If they are, if the aggressive ones are taken out, they learn very quickly. There is very little killing for the exposure that happens among humans and wolves in Alaska, say, where they've been there forever. And it is upsetting. I live in Jewell. I have sheep. When wolves come in here, I know I will need to manage my sheep differently. But I do not believe that the European descendants who took over this country can only run this country for their own will. And yet, even in their own will, we have killing machines. We have guns everywhere. And they kill in a way that a wolf will never, ever kill. And I'm upset, like the last caller, by your presentation of such a negative thing on wolves. It is going to be a thorny question when they move in. People like me with sheep will need to figure out what to do. And I'm like the last caller. I'm going to hang up now, too, because I am upset how you presented.
Well, I appreciate your call. And Mr. Buckmaster, you want to shed some light on this? Obviously, there's no shortage of heat.
Well, I would have to say, based on your first two callers, that I tend to agree with them to a certain extent as far as how you are presenting the information. One of our chores is to, as commissioners, is to move beyond the outliers and to balance. Just to let you know, since we've had wolves in Oregon, we are now up to, we've had to remove 16 wolves in phases 1, 2, and 3. We've had a fairly limited issue of depredation on livestock. I appreciate the second caller saying that she recognized she was going to have to make changes in management with her sheep as we have wolves entering into the Jewell area, and she's correct. Part of ODFW's charge is to make sure they understand and can teach tools to help livestock owners deal with wolf livestock conflict and interaction. Now, that all said, I think it's important that as wolves continue to grow, that we leave the options open. And that was another big issue that we had to deal with on the commission, on whether or not down the road we would ever use hunting as a management tool. And there's certain groups that don't want that. And our commission said that will remain a possibility as a management tool in the event that we have those numbers.
Okay, looks like we got another caller. This is a conversation with John Orr. Thanks for your call. What's your comment or question?
Hey, my turn? Yeah, quick one. John, you really blew it on this one. Using the term or the claim that urban people think that wolves are cute and cuddly, I don't think that's so. I don't see any point in name-calling, like referring to conscientious environmentalists as tree huggers, bunny huggers.
Didn't do that. Didn't say that.
You
didn't say tree.
Say that some people think of wolves as cute, cuddly animals. I don't think that's true. I have a lot of respect for you, John, for your objectivity. You blew it on this one, and you did have an obvious bias. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Do that better next time, please.
Okay, thanks. So I've been accused of lack of objectivity and bias, and maybe this just points out a continuing problem we've recently seen in Oregon on the, let's see, how do we turn that off? Oh, that's just great. That's smooth, very smooth. But I think this highlights, because we're getting representative calls from one point of view here, and it's strongly expressed, it's fairly expressed, it's a little bit emotional, but I have to say that that's not the only point of view. I have contact with people who have a different point of view, and some of them are here, and we see this kind of division between the rural and the urban split on the House Bill 2020 issue and the timber unity people. And so there's a significant fraction of the community that has strong feelings about that bill, and we have a significant percentage of the population that have equally strong feelings about the bill from a different perspective. So the idea is to not completely denigrate the other point of view. And if it seems like I've done that, I apologize. That was not my intention. But I think there's the sentiment behind certain perspectives about the wolves. And then there's the reality on the ground, and that's what I've been reading about. Mr. Buckmaster, anything?
Well, I really can't comment upon what you've been reading about,
right?
Because it was not provided to me to read about. I thought we were here to talk about the wolf plan itself, and we really haven't had a chance to get into that at any length. And I understand that's not a problem for me. But we balanced the issues. We had a very difficult mandate in the wolf plan to meet the needs. And I think we've done it in our wolf plan. And I suggest anybody go on the ODFW website and take a look at the wolf plan.